Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nick Kostos coming up momentarily. Donnie, you mentioned the Pop-Tart Bowl is going to be on. I don't know when, but I did see, I don't know where, I saw a clip of the people running the Pop-Tart Bowl. The trophy for winning it is an actual, there's a toaster built in where you can toast Pop-Tarts in the trophy. Did you see that?
Yeah, there are a lot of ridiculous bowls nowadays. That is one of my new favorites. I would not be upset if one day in the next few seasons that the Pop-Tart Bowl was hosting a college football playoff game. It should reach that magnitude.
Because of the trophy. I mean, this is a miracle. Nick Kostos on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. He's the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays, 3 to 7 Eastern, on the BetQL network, and watch from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Fast Channel or Peacock. I'm partial, Nick and Donnie, to brown sugar and cinnamon Pop-Tarts. Toasted or untoasted, I don't care. I'll eat them both. Donnie, Nick, what kind of Pop-Tarts? We'll go Nick first. What kind?
The only one that I had was like, it was a like chocolate fudge or something. It was like an Oreo one.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
It was
yeah.
like a chocolate filling.
Yeah.
That was like, when I grew up, I still don't like fruit. I like vegetables. I'm not a fruit guy.
Really?
I don't want any fruit in my dessert. I like chocolate. So I never wanted like apple cinnamon. That's a terrible choice. Apple cinnamon. Why would you have apple cinnamon when you could have chocolate? So like the chocolate Pop-Tart was my favorite one. I don't even remember what the flavor was.
Donnie, you're a s'mores guy, aren't you? S'mores flavored
S'mores,
Pop-Tart?
That's what it was. It was s'mores.
Gigantic.
Flavor, right? That's
yeah.
what it was.
Gigantic invention.
See, I definitely like those ones, but oddly enough, and this will surprise you, Nick, I kind of like the OG fruit ones they had, like the wild berry one that was like purple.
Wow.
They have like the blueberry ones.
Yeah.
I was a fan of
those.
I feel
like I'd like that now. I feel like I'd be into it. I haven't had a Pop-Tart. I'm 41 in like 30 years, maybe. Maybe I need to get back on this here.
Well, your taste buds have matured, Nick. Let's get to the ball game. Six or a 6.5-point spread. We were a little surprised to see that to open the week, but I guess there's a lot of factors playing in here. What's the best bet?
So, Joe, you're surprised you think that the Ravens should be less of a favorite?
I was surprised at first that the Ravens were more of a favorite in this game than the Eagles were against the Steelers. Yes, a little bit, but I think I do get all the factors, including the Ravens are coming off two bye weeks in a row.
Well, yeah, because I got to play my Giants last week. You're 100% right about that. So last week I came on the show. I told you guys I liked the Eagles in the game against the Steelers because I thought George Pickens being out was just a massive, massive deal for this offense. And everyone watched the game and everyone came out of the game saying, wow, I can't believe how bad the Steelers offense was without George Pickens. So Pickens is not playing tomorrow. He's been ruled out. TJ Watt is obviously going to play, but Pickens has been ruled out. So last week I felt like the Pickens news was not factored in enough to the way people were talking about the game or betting the game. This week, I actually think it might be a little too much. I like Pittsburgh to cover +6.5 tomorrow against Baltimore. I think that obviously the Steelers have like the mental advantage over Lamar Jackson. I don't believe me. Put a microphone in front of him with a camera. He'll tell you himself. It's one of the reasons why like we love Lamar. And Steelers fans, like you might hate the Ravens, but Lamar is pretty likable. He's always really honest. He knows that the Steelers have had his number. And, you know, we saw this manifest itself when these two teams played like 6 weeks ago in Baltimore, right? Or in Pittsburgh with Justin Tucker missing those kicks. I bet the Ravens in that game, it was brutal. You know, which kicker do you trust more in the game? Well, it could be a lower scoring game in December in the AFC North. It's Chris Boswell. It's not even close. So I don't know if the Steelers are going to win the game, guys. But as far as betting goes, I did bet the Steelers plus the 6.5 tomorrow.
Nick, when lines for games like this are getting set, how much does history play a factor? Because something that Joe and I discovered and we were talking about, really since this rivalry started to pick up steam in 2008, about 15 years ago, regardless of who's in the game, who's playing quarterback, who's on defense, 27 of the 33 matchups have been decided by one score in that case. And the line is like right there for it. But I feel like from an outsider's view, if it's somebody who's just a casual NFL fan, not particularly a fan of the Ravens or Steelers, I feel like they see that line and they kind of go by your thinking of, man, for this matchup, 6.5 points just feels like way too much because these games are always so, so close.
But why did we have to start with the 2008 AFC Championship game with Flacco in his rookie year? I thought this rivalry kicked ass way before that, but that was obviously a good one for you guys, right, with Troy Polamalu and company sealing that one out. And route to a win in Super Bowl 43 over the Arizona Cardinals, but I digress. I don't think it matters at all, honestly. It's interesting. It's a great talking point on sports radio. Like, I like talking about stuff like this. It's fun. But it factors, like, what happened in 2014 means zero to what's going to happen tomorrow in 2024. And I honestly, like, we can look at the game 18-16, in Pittsburgh, however it was 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Baltimore missed a number of field goals, the two-point conversion at the end. There, and Russell Wilson threw a terrible red zone interception in that game, right? There could have been way more points in that game. So I think stuff like that's interesting. I don't think it matters at all, guys, as far as tomorrow is concerned, though.
Nick Kostos on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. All right, how about the individuals, the game within the game? What's a good bet? And please don't say Ben Skowronek.
I will not say Ben Skowronek.
Thank you.
I do like Stone Cold Calvin Austin. Austin 316 says, let's bet is over. 5 for 65 last week for Pittsburgh in the absence of George Pickens. So Steelers' two receiver sets are, I mean, this is really bad. Calvin Austin and Van Jefferson. This is not great, obviously, right? I mean, we'll see if Mike Williams can crack two receiver sets now. Friermuth is obviously like the number one target now at the tight end position. Van Jefferson has kind of always been a one-trick pony, like passes down the field. And if he catches one, he's going to go over his receiving yards prop, which is 17.5. Austin, to me, feels like a safer bet because his route tree is more diverse, right? You can throw them ball down the field. You can throw them the ball in the slot, underneath, etc. So if I had to play someone on the Steelers, guys, I would look at Stone Cold Calvin Austin over 36.5 receiving yards tomorrow.
I might go, Nick, you could tell me how you feel about this. Both of the number one tight ends may be hauling in a touchdown. Friermuth on a nice little streak. Andrews, I think, has 8 touchdowns in his last 9 or 10 games. Like, he has not necessarily receptions and yardage-wise caught fire, but those two dudes are finding themselves with the football in the end zone.
There's no question. I would think Friermuth is the better bet than Andrews, only because, like, likely is a bigger receiving threat than, like, Darnell Washington or Mykole Pruitt. But it is worth noting that the Ravens have gotten hit pretty hard by opposing tight ends this season. I want to say they're in the top 5 of defenses allowing yards to opposing tight ends. If they're not top 5, they're right outside it. So Friermuth would be the tight end that I would choose. But, you might not be wrong about that because Andrews has been, a terrible start to the season for Mark Andrews. But obviously, I'm thinking of this like fantasy football terms. He saved like fantasy football seasons with how he's played recently. And that factors into real life as well. So I would pick Friermuth, but I don't hate the selection of Mark Andrews.
All right, Nick. Super Bowl odds. I want to look at those for a second. I think... Was it Nick last week who said he only has 2 teams in his Super Bowl pot, and that's Detroit and Kansas City? Was that you, Nick, who said that last week?
Yeah, I would say I would like. I don't think it's 2. It's not many though.
Okay, who else? Who else?
I would say so. Detroit, Green Bay, Kansas City. That's it.
Not Buffalo.
Not Buffalo, no. I think if Buffalo gets to the Super Bowl, they will get smoked by the Lions if they play them. And the only way Buffalo makes it, so here's how Buffalo makes it. And I don't think this is going to happen. Like, if Baltimore plays Kansas City, I think the Chiefs will win. But it's possible the Ravens could have, like, a nuclear offensive game. Possible, right? Not impossible. And if the Chiefs get knocked out, and honestly, guys, like, Steelers fans won't want to hear this. This is like when the Steelers didn't have to play the Patriots and would make the Super Bowl as a result. Because the Steelers never beat Tom Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Bills don't have to play the Chiefs, I think the Bills can make it. If they do have to play the Chiefs, I'll pick Kansas City in that game.
What I'm also hearing, maybe, from you and what you think at large, too, do more people believe right now that the Ravens are a bigger Super Bowl threat than the Steelers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. There's no question.
Even a healthy Steeler team. Okay.
I think that. I mean, look, like, the Steelers can win tomorrow. The Ravens are better. Like, Baltimore's a better team than the Steelers. Now, maybe Pittsburgh's got, like, the mind meld over them, and they're able to Jedi mind trick their way to a win. Like, we've seen them do it before. That happened last time. Of course it can happen. But, I mean, I'm just telling you guys, like, no matter what anyone's opinion is, I'm just telling people what the facts are. Like, Baltimore, look at things like this. Baltimore closed a three-point road favorite at Pittsburgh. At Pittsburgh. The Steelers are good, and Steelers have an awesome home field advantage. They close a three-point. That's a big number. And now they're almost a touchdown at home against the Steelers. So the betting market thinks the Ravens are a good amount better than the Steelers, which doesn't mean their upsets happen all the time. It doesn't mean the Steelers can't win. But, like, you're asking me my opinion, which team is more of a threat to win the Super Bowl? This won't endear me to people in your neck of the woods around the holiday season. It's easily the Baltimore Ravens. Easily.
Man, I hear that, yet the irony within that is the biggest impediment, or one of them, to Baltimore getting anywhere is if they have to play this team, Nick. They've beaten them eight times in nine tries. It could be 9 out of 10.
Yeah, and listen, to be fair, like, I'm betting the Steelers tomorrow. If it comes down to it, though, and it's Ravens, let's say it's Ravens at Steelers, because that could happen on Wild Card Weekend, right, if the Steelers win the division. They have to play on Wild Card Weekend. Baltimore is going to be favored in the game. Even if Pittsburgh beats them twice in the regular season, the Ravens will be favored. And then Steelers fans can say, you know what? Like, we're going to beat them again, and you can bet the Steelers. I might bet the Ravens in that game. And maybe I'm just stubborn there. But yes, I think the Ravens are a way better chance to win the Super Bowl than Pittsburgh. That is my objective opinion. I think I'm right.
Thank you, Nick. That one's we're gonna replay that one and get some mileage out of it. I appreciate it, man.
Great. I'm also, like, betting the Steelers tomorrow, to be fair.
I know. It's great.
Merry Christmas. Oh, I'm working Friday, by the way. If you guys are in next Friday, I'm happy to do it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets. The absolute very best of luck.
See you, man.
Thanks, Nick.
He's working next Friday. Wow, that was great, Donnie. What did you make of that? Way better. I mean, the reason I asked him is because what he said, not necessarily that, two separate issues. Are they way better? And do most people, including Vegas, think the Ravens have a way better chance to get to the Super Bowl than even a healthy Steelers team? That's a fact. Whether they are way better, we can debate. But the football world believes that the Ravens are better than the Steelers, even a healthy Steelers team. I'll let you comment there in a sec. That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. What did you think of that when you heard it out there at 412-928-9370, 928-9370? Are the Ravens better than the Steelers, even if it's a terrible matchup for them and they lose again? He just said if they lose twice to the Steelers, he'll pick the Ravens in the playoff game and continue to say they have a way better chance to get to the Super Bowl. Thoughts?
I mean, it has a ton to do with the respect that you may have for the quarterback. Like, I think Lamar Jackson is the absolute top reason why you would put them in that realm.
Plus a top three running back in the NFL. And on some days, a top one. And I know Saquon Barkley's out there. On a given day, Derrick Henry's the best in the league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has a Hall of Famer behind him. And it's really the first time in his career you could say that he has a Hall of Fame running back next to him. But I think that people will just look at the quarterback, even with his shortcomings against a particular team, in this case the Steelers, or in a particular situation like the AFC Championship, anytime deep into the playoffs. He does have a couple of wins, but he has had some big losses in the postseason. They're going to say, if they got Lamar, they have a better chance. Like, I really think it's that simple.
If you had to bet right now, and I told you that the Ravens wouldn't have to play the Steelers, which is the funny part, let's say they're guaranteed not to play each other, who would you bet on to get to the Super Bowl? More money. If I said, Donnie, you got to bet all your money on the Ravens or Steelers to get to the Super Bowl this year. Both teams are perfectly healthy when the playoffs start. Who do you think, who would you bet on?
I would actually bet on the Steelers. I think due to what the defense can do in the playoffs, for one, like, they do have guys that can make plays and big splashes. in that sense. If they are fully healthy, the offense is absolutely better than what we saw last week. They didn't have George Pickens.
But not as good as the Ravens' offense.
It's not as good as the Ravens'
offense.
Not
even close, really. And yet, I think the Steelers' defense is better than the Ravens, but I think the Ravens have had a transformation here defensively.
They have a good run defense.
Yeah.
They absolutely have a good run
defense.
And their
pass defense has gotten better, and they have a great player back there in Kyle Hamilton, who I think is better than Minka right now at this point in their careers, by the way. The funny thing is, if you could guarantee me they wouldn't play the Steelers, because I think the Steelers will beat the Ravens in Pittsburgh in the playoffs if that happens, if it's in Pittsburgh. But I think I agree with him and the rest of the world that the Ravens actually are a better team.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's just a lot of the weight that gets put onto the quarterback. But, I mean, I'm going to stick with the Steelers actually having a better chance if both are fully healthy. Something, I just have to see it to believe it from Lamar Jackson in the playoffs.
I hear you.
Like, I don't think there's, you know, he wouldn't get by the Chiefs, he wouldn't get by the Bills, not to say the Steelers would, but there's at least something there, some sort of history that the Steelers have a quarterback who, at least at one time or another, showed up in the big playoff moments, and the Ravens can't say they have that.
That's true, although I would point out that he did, again, have a good game against Houston last year in the divisional round, so it's not like he's never played well. He's had a couple good playoff games, but yes, he needs to prove that later on in the playoffs, and he needs to prove he can beat this team.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just a fact.
I mean, he also had the, you know, he blew it last year in the AFC Championship game. They had the Chiefs at home.
He did.
And there was the golden opportunity for somebody to dethrone the Chiefs. Still didn't happen.
But I would ask you this too, Donnie. How long's it been since Russ had a good playoff game? Because his last appearance, and I know he has a way better resume, of course, than Lamar in the playoffs. His last playoff game was a disastrous 11 for 27 against the Rams in a loss. So you have to go back to 2019. He had a couple decent games. They beat the Eagles 17-9. And then remember the Green Bay game? Remember that disaster? Wasn't that the onside kick game at the end when Seattle had them beat? You remember that?
I thought that was the game when Seattle had the big comeback and they won.
No,
they
lost.
Wrong game?
They lost at Green Bay 28-23. In a playoff game.
Okay. I think that was like the wild card round, maybe.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch was still around for that one.
Man, that was quite some time ago.
Yeah. Even 2019 seems like yesterday. I mean, Ben was running around. So, all right, Donnie. The battle lines have been drawn. 412-928-9370. You all heard what Nick Costos just said. We can do some calls next. We're also going to do a Bechtold breakdown coming up. City Limits, would you like to tease to that? After I say, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. You just heard Nick Costos, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Not Nick, but Sullivan Super Service. Limits, what do we have?
We'll talk a little bit about the NFL and college football going head-to-head tomorrow. Mm. What do you make of that? And Donnie and I were talking about this off-air a little bit earlier. Today is the second anniversary of the passing of a Pittsburgh sports legend.
Mm. All right, City Limits, the show is now yours. I'll tell people that shortly enough, we're coming upon the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Yes, indeed. It's time for Bechtold's Breakdown.
Here we go for Friday, December 20th, 24. Let's do it. The NFL is going head-to-head with college football. The playoff tomorrow. So three games, including Penn State SMU, the Tennessee game being played at Ohio State, and Clemson at Texas, with the NFL having Chiefs, Texans at 1, and Steelers, Ravens at 4:30. I personally am starting to get very frustrated with the NFL because Saturdays, especially with the brand new college football, should be for college football, just like how Christmas Day should be for the NBA.
Hold
it seems like the NFL
here.
Is just stepping on everybody's toes.
Oh, come on, Limits.
Because it's the NFL,
I'm tired
baby.
Of seeing
you're,
all the NFL
you're
during
a
these
millennial.
Other sports.
What does it matter?
Are I'm you sick a, of it. I'm tired of it.
Are you a millennial?
No, I think I'm like Gen Z.
You're a Gen Z. You don't have devices at home. You can't have the college game on your television and the pro game on your laptop.
How about Sundays are for the NFL and Saturdays are for college football,
football
games, and
we'll
leave it at that. More football,
this
the
guy,
better.
It's, this guy's more cynical than Ron.
So you'd
he
rather,
takes Ron's take on all these things.
Okay, so
I
you'd
only
rather
want to watch whatever one football game at a time. I can't figure out this laptop, this snap.
Okay, all right. So you would much rather watch the Steelers and Ravens or whatever game you want to watch.
Limits. You can watch two
can
at
I
once.
Can I make my point, please?
Yes.
You would rather watch the two games at once than be able to watch like the Chiefs and Texans good game on a Sunday at 1 o'clock and watch all the college football games and not go back and forth, having to flip the channel or two different TVs.
Even an
no,
old
I don't want
idiot
that.
Like me, doesn't need everything to be segmented. Like there's a game at 1 p.m. I will not watch another game until that game finishes, and it must be at 4 p.m. on network television. Every night limits. Last night, I had the hockey game on my phone and the volleyball on the TV. What is happening
here,
Donnie?
I don't like it. Donnie, thoughts?
No, I think tomorrow is going to be one of the greatest football days of all time, and especially if you are able to get in front of a couple of devices. Sarah and I will be at a Christmas party tomorrow, and given when the Pitt Hoops game is tomorrow, the Steelers pregame is earlier, so we have like an early morning Steelers pregame for a 4 o'clock game. It's working out pretty perfectly for me because we're going to get to this Christmas party a little bit after 12. So Penn State will just be getting underway. And one of the people there, a massive Penn State fan, Kyle, if you're listening, we already know what the setup's going to be. Big TV in his basement will be SMU and Penn State at noon.
Yes.
Texans and Chiefs will be on the like corner bar TV that
yes,
they have in their basement.
Donnie, now you're talking.
And then we'll flip it at 4 o'clock. We'll have college game in the corner. We'll have Steeler game on the big one. I can't wait for it. Now, I think there's an underlying factor here, Joe.
With limits?
Are you not attending the Penn State game tomorrow?
No, I am attending the Penn State game tomorrow.
So that's your problem.
So there it is. Because
Joe is getting really feisty with me in my segment. How about that?
Because by the time he gets out of there and maybe gets to his car or gets in his car, he's going to at best be able to watch like a quarter of the Steelers.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not driving. That's untrue. I'm not driving home. We're going to watch the game somewhere. Like after the Penn State game is over, we're going to go watch it somewhere. But I don't like this. I don't. My opinion is not going to be shifted.
So even if you were not going to the game and you were at home and you could lay out a two TV setup, you wouldn't like it.
No, because I want to keep my focus on the one game.
Well, wait a minute. Then what do you do during March Madness?
Yeah, well, that I have like multiple different TVs, but that's a completely different story in my mind because that's March Madness.
What
it's been for 100 years.
What has happened
March
to this
Madness,
guy?
March Madness, like that first, those first 2 days are like two of the best days.
Yeah, I bring
the
out like
calendar.
Three different TVs for that. But I would much rather not do that for the college football playoff in the NFL. And that's just my opinion.
One
I don't have to like it.
Greatest football days in history, as Donnie said. Plus, here's the other thing that happens all the time is multiple games between the two NFL games and the four college games. At least two of those are going to be blowouts that you're going to lose interest in. What better if, let's say, Penn State SMU is a total blowout? Okay, I'll just go to Chiefs Texans, yeah. Donnie. Plus, after the Steelers game, there's two more college games. So this is only a problem for, let me see here. What time is Notre Dame?
Notre Dame tonight.
So which games are the conflicts tomorrow?
So it's the two early ones for college football tomorrow. SMU and Penn State is at noon.
Yeah.
Texans and Chiefs is at 1.
Okay.
4 p.m. is Clemson and Texas.
Yeah.
And then 4:30 is Steelers-Ravens.
That's all we're talking about? And there's not a night game?
There is a college night game. It's Tennessee and Ohio State.
There you go.
Tomorrow night. I think the Pop-Tart Bowl is tomorrow afternoon as well. We could have a trio
have
of
a
great
fourth
games.
TV in there. I'm flabbergasted by Limit's take here. I really am. I'm just blown away by this, Donnie.
Texter Bechtold, can you please wear those hideous LeBron shoes to the game? Penn State will definitely lose. They're black and purple shoes. How are they hideous? They're black shoes.
I love them.
Unless they're talking about the green shoes, which, I mean, you can love them or hate them.
In a strange kind of way, I admire you. You're an old sports soul,
yep.
Even though, what are you, 23?
Yeah, I don't deny it, and I won't apologize for it.
You're a baseball purist.
Yep.
you're an don't play the NFL on different days guy. I respect that, although I vehemently disagree.
I would, because I would much rather, because I love college football on Saturdays, especially just being, I mean, it's the brand new playoff. I want to focus all my attention on that.
I'm just going to bask. It's going to be like those people you see in a tub of money where there's just dollar bills and they throw them up in the air. I'm going to bask in all the football tomorrow. I'm not going to do a damn thing. I'm going to order pizza. I'm going to drink Diet Coke till I'm numb. And every time I turn around, there's going to be a football game. And if one of them sucks, the beautiful thing is I turn to the other and another and another and another and another, Donnie, until I pass out at about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the best football days that we've ever gotten to experience. I mean, yeah, and some of the games could suck. Like, I could see, really, especially those first two college games, they could be blowouts.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you're a big NBA guy. What do you say about the NBA? Usually the NBA on Christmas Day is the tradition. The NFL has taken that over as well.
Again, and I'm astounded that I have to delineate this for you, I have multiple devices in my house, and oftentimes, I'll give you an example, even Steelers games. I was watching Golden State, was it Minnesota? And really, when you're watching two sporting events, there's often times where you can focus on just one.
Commercials,
halftime, end of the period. Is this guy 23 or 83?
Does he have a phone?
You put the phone up, or better, your laptop. You have one game on there, Warriors Nuggets on Christmas Day, and then on the big TV, I have whatever NFL game I want to watch, and my attention span goes from one to the other, and I'm in sports heaven. I'm in sports heaven, Donnie. It sounds like he's in sports Hades. Like, he doesn't like that.
So now that strikes me to another question here, Austin. On Sundays, specifically, when it's not the Steelers,
yeah.
Do you, like, watch a red zone stream or anything? Or do you not like the red zone? You don't like how that works because they're jumping from game to game?
I'll jump back and forth between the CBS game and the whatever the Fox game is.
So if you have
I love the red zone.
I don't have red zone.
A big Penguins Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And there's also an NFL game. Do you have like a nervous breakdown over that? Or what happens?
Sometimes. Sometimes you just, or I'll just watch the, I'll watch the Penguin game and then during an intermission, I'll throw the NFL game on and follow it along on my phone.
Thank you, City.
A lot of the tweeters and the texters are agreeing with me, surprisingly to you, I guess, Joe. Somebody else says, I don't have much use for the NBA, quoting Ron Cook.
Yeah, Ron Cook quote.
Yeah, you like that?
I'm shocked that people all we're looking at an all. Why do you always say to me? Why don't you say that to Donnie?
Because you were in staunch disagreement with this idea.
And
my
Donnie's
point.
Not?
Well, I think Donnie's not as staunch in the disagreement.
I am laughing that there's a couple of Ron Cook quotes in here.
Yeah.
Friday nights are for high school football.
This is football nirvana. What the hell is going on here, Donnie?
I mean, I'm going to be in heaven around like
me
12, 12:30 tomorrow.
And I'll be in hell if Penn State loses to SMU. And then I have to watch the Steelers lose to Baltimore. I'll be like, driving back tomorrow night.
And then you still get Tennessee, Ohio State. Give me more. I wish there were high school games on tomorrow.
Oh, give me a break. All right, next item, that took 15 minutes.
Somebody named Dan Eaton, actually. The numbers game is my favorite segment. Ryan Crosby, always love a good football Friday numbers game. Donnie, this thing is taking off nationally.
Yeah, it is. I know Ryan Crosby. He's a Greensburg guy. He's also a Penn Stater.
There we
related
go.
To Sid? Limits.
He is not related to Sid.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Somebody else says, Limits is singularly focused with an exclamation point. Yeah, I do. I like to keep my focus on a couple of different things. All right, let's focus on the Penguins. How about the win last night against Nashville? 5-4 beating the Predators. They've won two games in a row in overtime. Don't look now. They're fourth in the Metro points-wise, and just a couple points out of a playoff spot, Joe. What do you make of just the run the Penguins are on right now, and can it be sustainable?
I think it's fascinating. And if I were a diehard Penguins fan, I'd be very confused right now. Like, I thought they were going to the bottom, and then you want them to go to the bottom because you figure that's where they need to be to rise again. But then a little magic happens, and they're fun to watch right now. That's what I make of it. That game was dramatic last night. Carlson with the bloody lip or whatever he had there, blood on his face, and then he scores the goal. There was Sidney getting pissed off after he scored a goal, going after people. There was Brian Rust scoring the winner. It was just a comeback. it was fun. It was almost like a playoff game. They seemed to have a spark, and I maintain that that spark was lit the night they lost to the Utah Hockey Club, and it ruined Sid's 600th goal. And all those guys, as I mentioned earlier, looked at their captain, and I'm not even sure if he was angry as much as disappointed that night. And we all know, Donnie, that when Dad is disappointed, oh, it hurts way more than when Dad is angry. And I think they somehow, some way, responded to that night out of shame.
Yeah, something worked there in a big way, because you referenced when it happened. After that, they won four straight games. They have won the last two in overtime. They've been in overtime in the last three games. So 5 points in a three-game stretch, pretty good. They beat Montreal with nine goals before that. And they are into a point. Again, it's a long season, which makes this nice, because they are able to rebound after what was a pretty slow start. Like I said earlier, there was argument to be made at some of the early stages of the season, point or goal differential. You know, they were barely ahead of like the cellar dwellers of the league in points. The argument could have been made, are they the worst team in hockey? And they've risen up a little bit.
Well, now the question limits might be this. If you're the guy running the team, which I guess is Kyle Dubas, are you still wed to the bigger picture? Are you still trading, you know, when Marcus Pedersen comes back? Are you still trading him? If that was the plan? If the plan was to get rid of Ricard Raquel, are you still adhering to the bigger picture? Or are you getting caught up in what appears to be a nice little fun and maybe magical run? Which is it?
Yeah, I think right now you're getting caught up. You're getting caught up in the moment. You're getting caught up in some nostalgia of what was. And, I mean, I still think they should trade off some pieces, but if this continues and they end up being like second, third in the Metro by the time we get to the deadline, you can't move pieces at that point. You got to go.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, up next. Today is the two-year anniversary, guys, of Franco Harris's passing, which was stunning, surprising to everyone just a couple of days before his number 32 was retired. Joe, you were fortunate enough to be able to get a chance to see him play live. Donnie and I, unfortunately, obviously didn't get the chance to. What was your favorite memory of him as a player, as a person, any interactions you've had?
Yeah, we had some interactions. I didn't know Franco well, but we had some interactions. But it was more, the timing of his passing was just so, what's the word? Tragic, yes, but in a way. Who did I have on a couple weeks ago? It was a Steeler observer from back then, a player, and now I can't remember, who said, you know, in a way it was, because it was the week that he was getting honored, right?
It felt surreal to me.
Surreal, and in a way there was some beauty to that week being the week that we were celebrating Franco anyway, but just the tragic suddenness of it, I'll never forget. I'll never forget waking up that morning and seeing the news and coming in here and doing the show with Ron, who had just interviewed Franco. And then the beautiful part of it was the way that the tributes came pouring in that day and the next day from former teammates, from random people, from people who were, you know, worked with Franco, who were like, I had to take a separate car when we do an event together because Franco would always stay at these things until the last second to talk to every person who wanted to talk, give every autograph, whatever it was. It was Jim Rooney who was in here with me, my friend Jim Rooney.
Oh, yeah, on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Dan's son was in here talking about that. And we talked about the anniversary, which was coming up. And I'll never forget it. I can tell you that. I will never forget that day. It's just one of those moments in time that we all experience where you see something break on the internet or you get a phone call. And life is a little different.
That was also one of the like key triggers or starting points for me where, like, you know, there have been so many legendary Steelers of yesteryear from the 70s, you know, from those great Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
And that tells me, I mean, even a guy with Franco, who's seemingly still in very good health. I mean, he was doing a bunch of activities up until his passing. He was going to be honored that weekend. If they want to retire more numbers in the future, they can't wait around on it the way that they do, because you never know when some of these guys are going to pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to retire everybody. I'm not saying be the New York Yankees or something, but that was at least a moment for me where, like, you know, maybe they could have done this sooner. You know, maybe they could get the ball rolling on Terry Bradshaw because we know he's not in great health, or, you know, any other guys. I mean, just the age that they're at, if they want to do this in the future, like, don't wait so
long.
Don't
wait, yeah.
On it. But, I mean, it was also, in a way, the way that game went, the way that everything was with it, one of the coldest games in stadium history. I went to that game, Joe. Well below zero with the wind chill.
A comeback win, yeah. Man.
And, you know, one of Kenny Pickett's finest moments
it
with
was.
The Steelers. We know he didn't have many, but one of the core moments of that brief era of Steelers football, you know, they're wearing the block numbers to, you know, as a bit of an honor.
Did Pickens have the winning touchdown?
Yeah, it was Pickens across the middle.
I mean, that to me is the most memorable Kenny Pickett moment. I know he beat the Ravens, but that to me, because of that week and that night, again, the game itself too is a memory, right?
Yeah. Like the way that game went, it was like a really cool tribute in and of itself.
Exactly.
To Franco Harris.
Very well said. And as far as the running style, running ability, not many like him. I would say that limits. And I would say he still has an argument for the greatest big game runner of all time.
Yeah.
And there was a great Football Life on Franco where he talked about taking pride in and patterning himself after many different backs to where he could run you over. He was big enough to do that. He was an unbelievable cutback runner, very smooth. He could juke you in a number of ways. He can come out of the backfield and catch the ball. You won't find a handful better all-around running backs who ever played. And he doesn't get talked about, I don't think, enough for that when we talk about the greatest running backs ever. Because on a given day, we're playing the Super Bowl tomorrow. We're playing a game to save the planet tomorrow. Yeah, there's Barry Sanders and Jim Brown and Walter Payton. If I wind up with Franco Harris in that game, I'm pretty happy and feel like I have a good chance to win.
When I was like 12, 13, my dad always, he's in a bowling league. He still is. We'd always go, and I would go with him, and we'd go to the arcade. And in the arcade, there was the prize, just the crown jewel of the arcade was this Franco Harris jersey for 9,000 tickets. You could probably buy the thing for like $150 anywhere, but young 13-year-old Austin knew no better. So I took 2 to 3 years, collected all 9,000 tickets. The jersey was still there in the arcade.
Wow.
And used years upon years of my dad's $1 bills to win this 9,000 ticket jersey, and was trying to get Franco to sign it before he died. Unfortunately, that did not end up happening. But when they had the closed casket viewing at Acrisure Stadium, my dad and I went down and I wore it to that, and we got to talk to his family. So
you got to talk to the family?
We got to talk to his wife and son, Doc, yeah.
That is an incredible
story, man. The line
was
out the door, and it was snowing, and they had an ice sculpture with his number in it right by the spot where he caught the immaculate reception, so... It was a really touching day.
Should we finish with that, or do you have one more?
We could finish with that.
Yeah, I think we should. That seems appropriate. That's a hell of a story, Donnie.
Yeah, it is. I didn't know that, Limits. That's cool.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite Steelers stories I have.
Man, well, the Steelers get to write another one this weekend if they can go into Baltimore and clinch a division. When have they done that? When have they actually clinched the division there on that day?
Well, 2008 they did it. The game where
that's the night they clinched it, had the broken nose?
No, that was the game where Ben found Holmes.
Oh, Holmes at the controversial goal line. Yeah,
they won the division that day.
Yeah. This is a moment. It's a regular season moment, but a moment nonetheless, and the only one we're living in. So it's something really to enjoy and get geared up for here. Even if you're maybe a little distracted by a college football game at that point, Donnie. I think we're all going to be focused on the Steelers, right?
There's also a little bit of news there. Deshaun Elliott downgraded to out.
Ooh, not good news. He's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, he is.